From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. A local book publisher wants to take another risk on old-fashioned books. Details in a few minutes. We'll begin, though, with the latest in the debate over Syrian refugees in the U.S. Texas yesterday sued the federal government and the nonprofit International Rescue Committee, or IRC. That's after the agency announced plans to resettle two Syrian families in Dallas later this week. Shortly after last month's terror attacks in Paris, Greg Abbott followed the lead of other governors and announced Texas would not accept Syrian refugees. Since then, the State Health and Human Services Commission and the IRC have gone back and forth. This lawsuit is the first any state has filed over this issue. It says the Refugee Act of 1980 requires the federal government to consult with state authorities. Governor Abbott wants a temporary restraining order to stop the resettlement.
Despite efforts by the Obama administration to reach out to governors, including the letter they sent to us, regarding the situation at large, they still have not refuted the information that has been provided by national security leaders, who said there is a very real concern about the possibility of terrorists being able to infiltrate the Syrian refugees.
Federal Office of Refugee Resettlement has warned Abbott and other governors that they don't have the power to reject Syrian refugees. Will Evans opened Deep Vellum Publishing a year ago, concentrating on translated works never published before in English. He sold out several print runs, and his books have been reviewed in London Journal and on NPR. Now Evans wants to take another gamble, a store filled with old-fashioned printed books. KERA's Jerome Weeks stepped inside.
Hello?
It's an empty storefront on Commerce Street in Deep Ellum. Nothing special, 1,200 square feet with a cubbyhole office and a bathroom in the back. It was a winery before this, and who knows what else before that. But next week, Will Evans is holding a party to let people know in the next 2 months, this will become a rarity. A new bookstore, Deep Vellum Books. Vellum is another name for parchment, the animal skins used for books before paper was invented. Deep Vellum won't be a chain bookstore, not even a typical independent bookstore. It'll stock only works from small publishing houses, independent firms, poetry books, handmade books, literary journals.
So really the kind of stuff you're not getting anywhere else in the city.
Evans is still the live wire who moved to Dallas 2.5 years ago, determined to buck the digital age and the dominance of New York publishers. He was well aware that selling literary fiction from foreign authors was a niche market. Americans typically don't read translated works, but it's a niche without much competition. And Evans is aware his bookstore will also be a niche business.
However, I think there's a new valuing of independent literature. The same way that once upon a time no one had ever thought of indie music, and now indie music is mainstream. I think that literature is going that way, and I want to be a part of that. Just the process of like letting people discover new great writers. There's nothing wrong with reading great writers.
Actually, independent bookstores have shown a small increase in numbers the past several years. And Evans even has a successful model to follow. No, not the Wild Detectives, the bookstore that's been going great guns in the Bishop Arts District for a year and a half. Evans' bookstore will also have a coffee bar and live music like the Wild Detectives, but he says the focus will be more on literature. His model is actually Malvern Books in Austin. Malvern opened 2 years ago, just a few blocks from the UT campus. Very convenient. But owner Joe Bratcher says he doesn't really cater to the academic crowd. He went after writers' groups, book clubs, poetry gatherings.
They'd run out of places to meet, and I wanted to open a space where poetry and literature could be performed and enjoyed. And that's the biggest thing, is to get people into the store and let them know that it's a fun place to be and that they're welcome.
Deep Vellum Publishing is a nonprofit, but Evans wants his bookstore to attract some customers, make some money, which is why he says he's had his eye on Deep Ellum. He likes the location, the fact the area is getting new residential construction and stores. becoming more of a neighborhood, not just nightclubs and restaurants.
There's been a retail component that's been lacking in the neighborhood, and I hope a bookstore might be the missing link. This will be a new literary community center for the city.
But before all that might happen, Evans has an entire store to install. Right now, 3000 Commerce Street is mostly bare walls with some boxes of books.
The bones of Deep Ellum buildings are pretty much all identical. You get a rectangle of a room. Cool, it's been here for 120 years. We'll polish the floor, paint the walls, leave the exposed brick.
Put a stage in one corner, a coffee bar in another.
So we just need to get some bookshelves out here now.
And empty some of these boxes.
I mean, that's the dream, right? To empty all the boxes.
Put those books up on some shelves and get them sold. Jerome Weeks, KERA News.
Deep Vellum Books plans a soft launch in January. You can see images of the store at artandseek.org. Some of the holiest sites of three of the world's major religions can be found within a square mile of each other. Those spots and the people who live near them are the subject of a new documentary called Jerusalem. Our big screen team talks to a UT Dallas student who grew up in the city and provides the film's Muslim perspective.
I'm Chris Wagner, culture critic for the Dallas Morning News.
And I'm Stephen Becker with KERA, and today we're talking about a new IMAX film made by National Geographic called Jerusalem. The film tours the city through the eyes of three young women, one Christian, one Jewish, and one Muslim. And today we're talking to Farah Amari, who provides the Muslim perspective. So, Farah, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us how you got involved in this.
Okay, so I'm the Muslim girl in the movie, but I actually went to a Catholic school, and a nun came into our class and asked for girls who would like to audition for a National Geographic movie. And I auditioned, and after a couple of months, I heard back from the director and saying that I was chosen to be a Muslim girl.
And are you just telling your own story? Do you have a script or anything?
No.
Or is this just you uncut talking about Jerusalem?
It was me uncut talking about Jerusalem, me basically taking you on a tour, the audience on a tour to Jerusalem through my perspective.
One of the places you go to is the place you say is your favorite place in the city, which is the Dome of the Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Can you describe what that looks like and why it's significant to you?
The Dome of the Rock is in the Old City. It is considered to be one of the holiest places for Muslims, and it is a mosque. I enjoy going there because I consider it to be one of the most peaceful places to be in at the Old City, especially because there's a lot going on. And you go there, and it's just a place of worship, and people feel disconnected, and then they disconnect themselves from everything going on, and they just embrace that moment to pray.
So as we said, the film kind of looks at three different perspectives, mm-hmm. the Muslim, Christian, and Jewish, and they're three pretty separate parts of the story. I'm wondering, is there much intermingling among the groups in Jerusalem?
Yes, of course. Well, the Palestinian community is basically both Muslim and Christian. As I said, I am a Muslim girl who went to a Catholic school. So there is a lot of communication between both sides. However, it is more difficult with the Jewish faith because of the political tension, you know. I mean, it is separated in the Old City where we have like four quarters. We have the Jewish, Muslim, Christian, and Armenian quarter. And they are basically separated, not in barriers, but in people where you see Muslims only go to Muslim quarters and Christians go only to Christian quarters. But what you notice through the movie is that these religions have more in common than what you think. And that's what a lot of people don't realize.
What impression do you hope people are left with about your hometown after they see the movie?
I hope that people learn something. I mean, you're witnessing Jerusalem through the perspective of women, three young women with different religions. And I hope that this brings people together to understand the history behind it and how people love it and cherish it. And there's tolerance and understanding among religions.
Farah Amari, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Farah.
Farah Amari and Jerusalem director Daniel Ferguson will take part in a Q&A after the film tonight at the Perot Museum of Nature and Science. Details at artandseek.org. Sunny skies, high of 58 today, 39 now in Dallas, 38 degrees in Fort Worth. From the KERA newsroom, I'm Sam Baker.